This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexual. Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Triple Bypass here on Joy 94.9. And that was, fittingly enough, by Living Colour, once we got started there. My name's Ruby.
And my name is James.
And we're here to bring you some B for the LGBTI. Now, tonight we're having a show talking about the role of bisexuality in questioning the boxes of society. And we're also later we'll be talking to Lisa Sky, who is a bisexual comedian. She'll be joining us around 5:30, so stay tuned for that. But first up, an article that has just come out today on the Sydney Morning Herald was originally in the Washington Post, which is about coming out as bisexual helped change my perspective on monogamy by Zachary Zane. And this is a subject that I think is a bit contentious in the bisexual community. So this conflict, like, you know, the overlapping of polyamory and bisexuality. So it's going to be a fun, intense conversation. You can join the conversation and message us on 0427-JOY-949. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au. And if you have just tuned in now and realise you can't stay around, please check out our podcast, which is available at joy.org.au/triple bypass or available through iTunes.
And flick us a tweet if you want to on at Triple Bypass.
Yeah, I'm still so glad that we managed to get on that and that no doctor stole us with their amazing cardiary skills, or cardiac skills, I should say. And you can also find us on Facebook. Now, if you do listen to our podcast, please rate and review so we can know what you think. Looking forward to hearing from you guys. But back to this article on bisexuality and how it can change your perspective on monogamy. So if you want to read along. So this article was about is about a guy who basically ended up cheating on his first partner when he was a teenager with a guy, and how she was just like, I don't mind if you have sex with somebody else as long as you just love me. And how, as he kind of identified as bisexual, he writes, I no longer felt the need to abide by traditional heteronormative measures that define what a good relationship is supposed to be like. I also began to realize that, like my sexuality, my relationship style could also be fluid. This is a really interesting topic because I know that bisexual people, one of the many, many stereotypes that we get slapped with is that we can't be in a committed relationship with one single person. So I suppose for a long time I've always kind of rejected having bisexuality and polyamory conflated or overlapped, because it's just like, you're making it worse. Like, you know, people already think that we can't commit if they just group us together with people who, you know, who are in relationships with more than one person.
Well, I'm terribly, terribly hurt, and I'm going to have to go home and cry with my boyfriend and my wife. That'll make me feel right.
But yeah, I suppose, you know, as I have matured, I like to think, at the fresh young age of 26, I still really do believe that, and I basically believe now that this idea of having to try and fit within heteronormative structures is absurd. Like, you know, I think the kind of triggered a bit when I saw an article that was saying, you know, we didn't queerify marriage, it straightened us out, and how marriage itself is a very heteronormative idea. And
yeah,
that
it is.
A lot of people, a lot of members of the queer community do bend themselves backwards to try and fit into straight perspective.
And there's also, there's that very mainstream idea of romance where, you know, there is one person out there who is meant for you, and you're incomplete until you find them. And yeah, that's something I was very heavily indoctrinated into, and it took me a lot of time to unravel all that and go, no, I think I'd be happier if I can become a complete person in myself and not rely on somebody else to make me whole.
And then go find other complete people.
Yeah.
But I suppose, like, this is something that I think this idea of how, of, you know, polyamory and bisexuality, they're both kind of really questioned, because they both, by the fact that they exist and people identify as both those things, call into question, I think, a lot of assumptions and a lot of the kind of the foundations that our romantic and relationship society norms are built around.
Yeah, well, when I first became polyamorous, I've been poly for about a decade or so, a bit over. And when I first got into it, I was sort of thinking multiple versions of my mainstream idea of what relationships and romance are. Mm-hmm. And it took me a couple of years to sort of go, well, maybe relationships can be something completely different. Maybe they don't have to be set in stone as to exactly what they are. And maybe you can have a really important sort of romantic seeming relationship that's not sexual. And maybe you can have these other things, you know, and yeah, the whole thing just sort of fractures and it gets more and more granular as you think about it more and more. And the whole sort of house of cards starts tumbling down.
And yeah, I guess exactly. And I think that's I do believe, like, you know, we've on the show we have definitely talked about a lot about bi erasure in the LGBTI community. You can check that out in our podcast, guys. But yeah, this idea that by our very existence and by saying gender is actually not the only factor on attraction, it immediately calls into question, I think, a lot of the ideas that a lot of people who identify as gay or lesbian do define themselves as in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so by having people say, look, not to have a go at you, but the fact that I exist and means that there's more to it than that,
yeah,
is a pretty shaky thing. Just like the fact that the way that heterosexual people can feel unsettled, like deeply unsettled, not even like, you know, and afraid of homosexual people. I think it's kind of similar, but that's just my opinion.
And I think there's a degree of security in the I'm just like you except for one thing mentality.
Yes.
You know, the whole, you know, but the people who use the term gay marriage, which makes me grit my teeth, marriage equality, woo!
Mm.
But people who say, oh, you know, gay marriage is just, it's just like straight marriage except it's two people of the same gender. Or, you know, that sort of thing. And it's like, Why are we trying to bend ourselves to fit into the really restricted roles?
Exactly, especially because, you know, there's so much to that's being said. Like, it's easier to be accepted when we're not when we're trying to fit into their boxes as opposed to basically saying those boxes don't exist,
yeah,
and you're all just standing in a, you know, you're just, there are no fences. You know, and I think we've definitely talked on the show about that before, about bisexuals sitting on the fence, being like, oh, there is no fence. We're going to be getting back stuck into this soon, guys, so let us know what you think about relationships. Maybe do you believe that bisexuality can open your mind up towards the breakdown of monosexualities? I don't know. Send us a message on 0427 569 or 949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. But stay tuned because we've got a song coming up and then we're going to be right back. You're on Joy.
Hi, this is Rob Mills, and you're listening to Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Triple Bypass.
Can I throw in a hooray?
Hooray! Hooray, everyone is gay. Everyone is gay is the title of that fantastic song by A Great Big World. I'm a big fan. I'm Ruby.
I'm James.
And we now are joined by
Lisa Sky. Hi there.
Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa. We're here to talk about bisexuality and being bisexual and other stuff that starts with B's. You can join in the conversation. You can message us on 0427 569 949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au.
Or check us a tweet at Triple Bypass.
Or on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy. There's so many ways to get in touch, so use them. Use them all. Now, Lisa, you have just been off doing a show because you are...
Indeed.
I'm a comedian.
I'm just texting my submissive to tell him that he probably won't get into Kits and it's quite far away, so he should use his pass in a better way.
Okay.
That sounds...
Lisa Sky, never not on brand.
if you don't know me,
who the hell do I think I am? I am a comedian, humorsmith.
Say something funny.
Tell us a joke.
Oh, this bloody country's a bloody joke, isn't it? Bloody politics, who are those clowns? I recently found out that Dan Andrews is the Prime Minister. What a...
Premier.
What a bloody clown. This country's stuffed.
Daniel Andrews, thank you so much for all the money you donate to our station.
There you go, Ruby.
I have a bit of a crush.
That was fantastic.
I have a bit of a crush on old Dan.
It's true. No, but that was brilliant. Like, you know, that was fantastic.
Political party. No, we're talking politics now, Ruby.
He's Labour.
Okay.
He also, his minister has the first ever equality minister.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, and they've actually, and so they're setting up the Pride Centre in St Kilda, which is coming up soon.
And they've set up a couple of $1 million worth of grants for the LGBT community, which have just recently been awarded.
Yeah, exactly. And they actually, He's also the only premier in, I think, in Australia so far who promised from the get-go to not only not scrap Safe Schools, but to not change it at all.
Yep, and he said that if federal funding disappeared for Safe Schools, Victoria would fund Safe Schools in
which
Victoria.
Which it is in 2017, in this year, actually.
I am such a rabid trash badge of vapid human that I Instagrammed through that whole interaction. So, at the Lisa Sky, if you want to prove me right. Oh, I'm the worst.
No, it's okay.
Yes, I am a sparkle puppy Muppet Dominatrix comedian who lives in Melbourne but tours interstate and bloody internationally. There's
wow.
a pencil.
You're in our bee club, aren't you? Is
it? I love bees. Yeah, they make honey. The stripes. Oh, I love a horizontal stripe. I love a fat insect in a horizontal stripe. I actually went as a bee once in New York. I was in Halloween and my husband and I had, it was so disgustingly amazing. So I was a bee and he was dressed as a beekeeper and he was walking me on a leash. And I'll tell you what, dogs hate seeing humans walked on leashes. It was the only time dogs didn't like me.
There you go.
It was cultural appropriation.
See, I quite like bees as well because they are very matriarchal.
Yeah. Well, we actually, when we did our bi group at Pride March, we had a few people dressing as bees.
Why were you farewelling Pride?
Sorry? What do you mean?
Well, you were saying bye to Pride. Ah. Why is that?
I see what you
have did. Have I misworked out what this show's about? what's this about? What's this? Ruby, what's this show about?
Lisa, let me tell you, this isn't for people who are attracted to more than one gender.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I'm one of them.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Then you're on the right show.
Good.
Which I think is a huge relief to all of us.
We didn't make a terrible mistake.
Which has happened before.
Or did we?
I am such an heterosexual.
So, but like, well, I suppose like the first, so you are attracted to more than one gender.
Yes.
Do you identify as bisexual or do you use another word?
Interesting. So I used to only identify as queer because it was the 90s and it was gender binaries and whatnot. But recently, like a couple of years ago, I had someone, say a really lovely thing about how bisexuality is two as in me and people not like me.
Yes.
Which I really like.
Yes.
So I guess I'm back on the, on the bind wagon. I'm sorry, I'll get my coat.
No, don't leave. I'm locking the door.
But wow, the critics are going to pan that performance.
Oh, sorry about your ears. I'm trying to phase it out.
It's okay, guys. I'm good at my job. I got these levels.
because I'm also polyamorous, and April is the worst because I'm the worst person. My husband's birthday was yesterday, and my boyfriend and my anniversary is in a couple of days. And every year it's just like, oh, I love you, I've got to work, and the cat in the cradle and the shoe.
See, that's about your kids.
Well, in a way, all my lovers are my children. Whoa.
Look, I'm just going to skate right past that.
Sorry,
and go to a song.
It's real late in the festival, guys.
No,
Daddy's
fair
tired.
Enough. Lisa has to come straight from a show. Mm. So we're going to be jumping ahead to a song now, but we will be right back for more of this, which is, I don't know what it is, but I'm enjoying it a whole lot.
Yeah, it's good, whatever it is.
This is A New Wave by Slater Kinney.
Slater Kinney, get ready to rock
and
out.
And you should check out the video clip because it's got Bob's Burgers and Tina in it, and I'm a big fan of that show. So stay tuned, we've got some breaks. This is Triple Bypass, You're on Joy, and Bloody Politics. If you want to hear about that, you can check out our podcast, which is available on iTunes or at joy.org.au/triplebypass. Also, get involved in the conversation. You can message us on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Now, during that fantastic song, we did get a message from
a couple of messages
from Meredith in Carlton, who said she really thinks we should acknowledge that bi people can be monogamous if that's the way they choose to go. Absolutely. Meredith, I identify as monogamous and I completely agree. I think, and you know, we weren't trying to suggest that bisexual people must, by definition, be polyamorous. So totally understand where you're coming from with that one. And the next one, it's so nice to hear the bias taking over the airwaves. It's Alan from Altona again. Thanks, buddy.
But you know what? We're only taking over the airwaves until we make a decision about what channel we want to be on.
It's true. Just, it's so hard. And, like, you know, we haven't got a set time. We're just all over the place.
Yeah. So what frequency are you on? Oh, just all of them.
All of them. Oh, it changes. It changes.
But no, I totally agree about the monogamy thing. I don't want to step on my show because I have, like, a whole, I think, you know, kind of section of my recent solo show talking about how I hate when people insist that polyamory is for everyone.
By the way, Lisa Sky is a comedian.
Oh, yes. It was just Joy. Does some comedian.
She does the funnies.
This is the funniest out of my mouth. And I just got distracted by that clock. Anyway.
Okay, we're going back to
monogamy.
Yeah, because it's always, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it tends to be a certain genre of bisexual guy who insists that polyamory is for everyone. And because it's not, it is not for everyone. And it's this guy who's like this very long, skinny man in his early 40s who is very comfortable. He always looks very comfortable. He's wearing like Ishka Thai fish pants and a singlet, like a hemp singlet. Even in a formal setting, he's too comfortable.
I'm dying over here because I've met this man.
Yes, and he looks like a fox who'd offer you a Reiki massage. And he's like, hey, monogamy's a myth. And he's always talking to these like music festival girls, like those willowy girls who are still a bit lost working in themselves.
With the flower crown.
Yeah, just a little bit too young. And he's like, hey, yeah, do you like Richard Dawkins? Yeah. And it's like, no, you're too comfortable. And monogamy works for people.
Oh, so Richard Dawkins is a bit of a prat.
Yeah, so's this weird fox guy. This is a wolf in Ishka clothing. Oh, and he pronounces it Shibari. I'm like, no!
So I suppose, like, what do you think, aside from this particular guy, why isn't polyamory for everybody?
It just, so many reasons. Some people like to just have sex with one person. Some people like to have sex with no persons. Some people like to love only one person. Yeah, it's like how, you know, some monogamous people are just dangerously codependent. Some polyamorous people are just desperately trying to, oh, I shouldn't say that, trying to fill a void.
We're talking with, but of course, this is like, you know, particular individuals. This is in no way a reflection
exactly.
on the
community. Yeah.
And of course, I mean, in some ways, it's almost a nonsensical question, which is not a criticism, but it's like, you know, it's like saying to somebody, you know, well, why are you bisexual? And it's like, I don't know. Is it important? It's like, why are you monogamous? I don't know. I just am. Is that a problem?
Well, I think that no one asks why you're monogamous because the assumption is always that you
default,
are.
Yeah.
It's just much like, you know, the defaults in society are generally, if you think of a human being, it's a white guy, and then if you go further into relationships, it's that you're dating someone of the opposite gender.
Yep.
And if you do, and the idea is that you will find that one person and you will stick with that one person for your whole life, and that is what successful relationships are.
Yeah, it does feed into the misconceptions about bisexuality. Like, I know people, it breaks my goddamn heart, who aren't really poly, but because they're bi, they feel like they need to kind of, because, like, say if they're with a person of this defined gender, then everyone's like, oh, so you're gay now. And it's like, no. And so some people just say, oh, that person I'm going to have a relationship with. Because of the, like, why are we still talking about suspicion in bisexuality? Oh, my God. Why? It's the year of our Lord 2015. Why is this happening?
We actually just got another message in saying, hi, I think we should discuss relationship models like polyamory. This is why I listen to Joy, David. Ish. P.S. Bisexuals rock. You rock, David. You rock. And we're very glad you're enjoying the discussion.
Yay for David.
Because, I mean, there are so many things. People are very complicated machines. Like, there's so many bits and pieces that make up a human being.
Yeah, some of them like that song by Rob Thomas and Santana, Smooth.
Yeah. Some people like Nickelback. You can't understand everything.
Yeah. But people need different things and they want different things.
And then the ones who needs change. I think that's also really important because one of the defining things I think that I've come to terms with bisexuality, my own and everyone else's, is that it's not status. Mm. You know, you do not fit at exactly 50-50, like men, male and female. Firstly, bisexual people can be attracted to more than two genders because there are more than two genders.
There's a whole bunch of them.
I'm
one of them.
Nice Lisa gender. And so in this article we were talking about at the very beginning, which was recently published in the Sydney Morning Herald, which is about coming out as bisexual helped change my perspective on monogamy, there's this talk again that as your own sexuality can be fluid and you can want and be attracted to different things at different times, what you're looking for in a relationship can change. And I also just think of, let's be realistic, when people started to get married, life expectancy was not that long. So when you got married to someone, it's like, okay, 20 years and that's it. Now it's like, if you marry someone at 20, you've got 60 years with that person. That's a really long freaking time.
But if you like, say if you like having sex with a penis, right? And you meet the person who's got the best penis and you like having sex regular, right? And you really like that. Monogamy can totally work. Like, I mean, look at me. I'm into weird stuff.
You can't see because this is a radio show.
At the Lisa Sky on Instagram. But yeah,
we'll put up some photos.
But, yeah, like, because I don't want the same person, you know, like who I beat up to be the same person who I also beat up. I like beating up people.
You're right. But just to be really clear, we're yes. talking about consensual S&M totally. Relationships.
Yes.
Of course.
My biggest kink is consent.
Kink
then
is...
rope.
Sorry, I know we're getting a little off topic here, but I'm very confused by people who think that consent isn't sexy. Isn't that weird when people go, oh, it's so unsexy? It's like, no.
No, but there's a whole, I think there's a whole lot of attitudes towards that to do with people, like, you know, society coaching with particularly women to be ashamed of sex.
Yeah, not articulating.
And you see it in cultures particularly where there is a lot of emphasis on that, where you don't talk about it, so consent has to be earned. Or often if a woman says, you know, there, and like, I am not saying that this is ever okay, but there's this idea that she has to say no to start because otherwise she's
what's
a slut.
That? Yeah.
And that's like, that's something that really bothers me because it's such a common trope that a lot of women romanticize it as well. And if it's done, if you know, it is a play that is agreed on beforehand, that's okay. Mm-hmm. As long as beforehand, before you go through the whole having sex with someone who says no, you're both sitting there like, okay, so here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no and you're going to have sex with me anyway. And if I say this word, for example, if I say bumblebee, you stop.
Oh, I like traffic lights better than safe words. Have you heard about that?
Yeah. So that's the...
Yeah.
We'll get straight to that. Well, first, we've got to go to another song. So if you want to hear about traffic lights for safe words in kink play, please stay tuned.
With a secret twist.
Yes. Ooh. Okay.
Mysterious.
I'm excited. Okay. We'll be right back after this break, guys. Stay tuned. This is Joy.
Hello, good thanks. This is Effie and you're listening to Melbourne's most uplifting music mix on Joy 94.9. How ace is this?
So ace. Oh, I love Effie.
Oh, Effie, so embarrassment.
This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9 and you are listening to LGBT by Cupcake. That's with two Ks. We are joined in the studio by Lisa Sky, who is a bisexual comedian. Bisexual, poly, it's not the one I'm thinking of is wrong.
Comedian or comedienne?
What do you think, Jane? How I feel about gendered language? Jane. I'm asking you, what do you think about gendered language? What do you think I think about gendered
language? I don't think she likes it, mate.
I suspect you don't like
it. What do you think Femme Daddy Lisa Sky thinks about gendered language, James? What about that?
Now, we were briefly, before those wonderful songs were playing, we were hinting at a discussion about traffic light signalling for kink play with a twist. But before we get to that, we did get a message during that break, which was from Simon, who said he felt that this was a bit of a simplistic and judgmental discussion and a disappointing lack of diverse thinking and nothing like young people telling the rest of us what is right and not. Look, firstly, I should say, Simon... of course, we'd really like to hear what you felt was missing from the discussion because I know we definitely want to be inclusive.
Yeah.
You should not assume that all of us are young.
I'm so not young.
I'm 35.
Yeah.
I'm 43.
Yeah.
But so, I know how to moisturise my larynx, so I sound young. And I'm also not that intelligent,
I'm just immature.
But, yeah, no, I always want to know if I'm not being inclusive because that's literally one of the main things I try and do with my comedy is make comedy for the rest of us, like uplifting, lovely voice for the unvoiced. So please text us back and let us know what you felt was non-inclusive.
Or if you felt that there was like you felt that there was some serious judgment going on. Because I think as far as lack of diverse thinking, we had the opinion that no one here disagreed that polyamory can work.
No.
And so, you know, it might be worth having that voice in the conversation, but all of us around here, I'm not polyamorous. James and Lisa are.
Yes, and it can work. And then some people think they are and you date them and it breaks your heart because it doesn't.
Yeah, and it doesn't. Just like relationships don't work for some people and they keep getting into them.
You mean people don't get into a single relationship early in their lives and stay with that one person for the rest of their lives and never, ever get into any kind of relationship with anyone else?
Here is a fun fact for you. People who get married young, much more likely to be cases of domestic assault.
That's a fun statistic.
I got so many of those.
Oh, no, Ruby,
I'm taking a break from... I will say this. I have a... being on the autism spectrum. I have a bit of data retention issues and I do a news program here on Joy, which is on rest at the moment. And a lot of that stuff sticks forever. Now, tell us about... Jumping onto the fun stuff again. We were talking about consent and the importance of it, even when the play itself might have aspects of non-consensual in it. And I had mentioned safe words, and you had said that there is something you think is better.
Well, yes, here's a hot tip from your old pal Skyzy. So, safe words are usually like, say, pineapple or lawsuit or vomit.
Words that don't usually come up during sex.
And so you say it and then everything stops. Mm-hmm. Stop everything, cuddle. Whereas traffic lights, which is what people use now, are green, amber, red. Yep. So green is, oh my God, keep going. Amber is, oh, ease up on that. Red is stop everything and cuddle. But there's never been a word for, like, the dominant to check in. Mm-hmm. And so your old Bell Skyzy coined this, and please use it out in the world, intersection. So you can still kind of have this, like, you know, consensually non-consensual scene or whatever, and you can just grab them by the hair and say, intersection, and they can say, Gramba. It's a way of if it's someone you haven't been playing with for a long time, or if you're doing a new thing, the dominant says intersection, which is like a call and response. And then that's them saying to the submissive, are you okay? Is this okay?
So is that kind of like asking for colour? So I think I've heard of that. Yeah. So someone's saying, oh, you know, what colour?
Yeah.
And so getting them because they might not be able to twig into what's happening around them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when I saw a workshop being done about you know, joining the BDSM community, this particular dominatrix, because they said, like, you know, I don't use those colours. I use silver and gold.
Okay.
Which I thought, you know, which was and silver.
Sparkle dom.
Yeah. And pretty Saints. Much. Yeah. And so but that was also with the agreement, because it was for a demonstration that stop meant stop.
Yeah.
They weren't going to be using that word aside from for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, and I think it's important to talk about. I think there is a bit of, I am not involved in the community, but I do believe there is stigma around the kink community in the LGBTI community.
Mm.
Much like there is around towards bisexuality and in some regards towards polyamory, because it seems to confirm a lot of the stereotypes that the heterosexual community has about us.
And there is a certain amount of the population who is invested in this idea of saying to the straight mainstream, hey, we're just like you except for this one thing.
Yeah.
And when you know, bisexuals and non-monogamous people and everyone starts coming out of the woodwork, they go, ah, pay no attention to the freaks behind the curtain. We're just like you. Go away.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not sure. So I suppose, did you enter it through the queer community, or was it, did you just happen to be in a kink community that is queer, or is it a bit of everything?
I kind of grew up in a vacuum of my own making. Like, you know, when I was four, a boy asked me at kinder to be his boyfriend. I said, no, Nicholas is already my boyfriend. You can be my emergency boyfriend. So when Nicholas isn't here, you get to be my boyfriend. And then when I was three, I remember watching, You know that Looney Tunes one with Foghorn Leghorn, and he gets dressed up like a lady and tied up. Do you remember that one?
No.
Yeah, I do.
I remember Lola Bunny from Space Jam.
No, I remember. I remember Foghorn Leghorn tied up. He get dressed like a lady and tied up, and has to marry the other one.
And that did it for you?
Yeah, and so, like, that's pretty far back. And and I just was always into everyone. Like, my mum, you know, like, I never even came out because they just always knew.
We do have to wrap up soon, so I just want to quickly jump to this other message we got. Guys, thank you so much for getting involved with the show. We do love it. Please disagree with us as much as you want. We're happy to hear it. We do want to make sure this is something that is inclusive. Mm. But there should be debate. We're not all going to agree. We're not a monolith. But this message is from Brad, who is a member. So firstly, good on you, Brad. Thank you. And then they said, traffic lights have been used for years. They're not something new, and it's never worked for me.
Yeah, that's cool.
Absolutely.
Traffic lights have been used for years.
I think the intersection thing was new.
But yeah, absolutely. People do like just a one quick word, or if you're doing breath play, there are so many. That's what's so great about kink. There are so many exceptions.
But it does sound like, though, it's really important to have the space to talk about all those different ones and find what works for you and to feel safe.
Good communication in so many things is so important.
In kink, in polyamory, in any relationship, in any human connection, that happens.
In coffee orders.
Sex and consent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I plug my show?
Look, yeah, you can. We've got about a minute. So you've got a show in the comedy festival?
Yeah, well, it's only a one-off. So it's Spiders Wearing Party Hats, which is a show that I've done a couple of times in Melbourne. So this is the last time I'm ever going to be performing in Melbourne. Ask someone who's gone. They'll love it. I've had people genuinely come to see it like three or four times. And it's for charity. So I'm doing it at the Butterfly Club this Monday at 7 p.m. And all the proceeds go to Harm Reduction Victoria, which is a peer drug thing and shark angels who help sharks.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, Spidey's wearing party hats, just at the Lisa Sky on all forms of social media.
Fantastic. And I think you can also, if you check out Lisa Sky's social media now, you'll see some pretty cool photographs of us.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is always fun. We'll try and put some of those up on Facebook. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Lisa. It's been really great fun having you on the show.
Yeah, it has.
And I think, you know, we've covered a whole lot of interesting stuff, guys. We've talked about gender roles. We've talked about boxes in society and societal norms. We've talked about kink. We've talked about dating more than one person and whether it's right for you and how it's not right for everybody. If you want to hear it, check out the podcast, which you can find on iTunes or joy.org.au/bypass. We will be back next week right here at 9 o'clock on Joy 94.9. Have a great night, guys. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Andy McNamara filling in for Katie Purvis with Miss Chatelaine. You're on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.